I had an eye appointment this week at the doctor and had to get my annual eye checkup done. And I put a little vision thing in your bulletin today. I did this back maybe last year or so, just to remind you, wanted to see what your vision was. And if you look at this thing, as we're going through Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, we're in chapter number 2 today, being the 22nd of June, 2025. We're looking at a lesson entitled Holy Boldness. Holy Boldness. And I wanted to give you this little eye chart to ask you, where is your vision today? How is your vision today? We want to have good vision. And when we have a vision, we need to ask God for the power, the boldness to be the witnesses for Him that God would want us to be. And I want to be a good witness for Him, don't you? I want to be found to be a faithful witness for Him. And let me make sure I'm on here. I am on, right? Okay, all right. I want to be a faithful witness. And so today as we look at this, I want you to see if you can read that eye chart. The W at the top stands out, but the letters get smaller as you go down. But it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's what the eye chart says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to have a vision today. I appreciate Brother Greg. He comes out each week, and he and Brother Rob Lyons and Bob Lyons, they go out, and Brother Flick and a bunch of the guys in here, we just team up and we go out and tell folks about Christ. Y'all had some folks saved Thursday night, did you not? Somebody did. I can't remember now who it was. Had two or three folks that got saved on a food call. Was that? Yeah, Earl and them had it, right? Okay. Yeah. They had folks saved on a food call. Why? Because they had a vision. Amen. We go to deliver food for the body, but we get to present to them food for the soul at the same time. Amen. And what a blessing that is. So I want to encourage you today with this. Get a vision for souls. Keep a vision for souls. And be willing to ask the Lord to give you boldness to be that witness for Him. So today as we look at the lesson, this lesson is entitled Holy Boldness. And our theme verse here is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 6. And the Bible said this, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. Now, I want you to understand today, the devil is going to try to do everything he can do to stop us from being the witnesses for God that God would have us to be. He's going to do that through situations in our lives and everything. But we need to pray and ask God for boldness. And I wanted to sum up the lesson today with this one statement, this one thought. When God opens the door of opportunity, we've got to learn to trust Him enough to walk through it. We've got to learn to trust Him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen? So I want us to look at the lesson today. We know that in last week's lesson, we learned a great truth, and that was that prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. And oftentimes God places us in situations where we simply have no other choice but to come to Him with our heavy burdens. We have to come to Him with our distress, our despair. We have to come with Him and with everything and just leave it there with Him. We don't keep on carrying it. We drop it there and we leave it with Him to take care of. And as we do, we come to see the fact that prayer does indeed change things. God answers prayer. That's why we take up these purple prayer slips every Sunday morning. I had folks calling this morning. I was praying with them on the phone this morning because they're not able to be here. They got health situations, got all kinds of things going on. And so prayer changes things, and we need to understand that and learn to trust the Lord to see us through. So that brings us to the lesson today that we're going to be looking at, where I want to ask you this question. Have you ever had something that lays so heavy upon your heart, And you needed to talk to somebody about it. You wanted to talk to somebody about it, but you just did not have the boldness or the courage to go to that person and talk to them. You ever had a situation like that? You wanted to talk to somebody about it, but you just didn't know what to say, how to say, if you could say anything about the situation? I have. And you know what? It's times like this that we need to go to God and ask for that strength, that boldness. Listen, there are times that, man, I have to just sit down with pastor and just say, what do you think about this? Here's what I think I need to do, but I just want to get a second opinion on this, okay? We go to the doctor and get second opinions, right? Okay? You go to the doctor. I got a physical tomorrow, okay? A physical follow-up. I'll go back for the physical. And they're going to check on stuff and things like that. And I remember asking one time, we always kid one another. And I'll ask him, I said, so you're sure everything's all right? And he said, yeah, you need a second opinion? And I said, well, yeah, that would help. He said, okay, well, you're a little ugly too, but. I said, okay, doc, we're good, I'm fine, no problem. But we kid. But you know what? We need to go to God with every situation that we got. We just need to learn to go to God. The situation that Nehemiah found himself here in, as we looked last week, was the burden that lay upon his heart about what to do about Jerusalem, the city. It was devastated. And Nehemiah had a burden for God's people. He had a burden for the city. He had a desire to see Jerusalem rebuilt and the gates of that city restored. He wanted to see it brought back to its original glory for the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had to make this burden and desire known to the king, to the man that he worked for, and he was a servant unto. And you know, I'm sure probably Nehemiah probably thought within his heart, he probably thought to himself, well, how will the king respond to my burden? How will this king, will he even be willing to hear my request? You know, will he listen to what I've got to say? And what if the king says no? What then? What do I do? God laid a burden upon this man's heart. So what do you do? Well, Nehemiah knew what God had told him to do. Nehemiah knew that God had a job for him, and he was confident that God would supply his every need. But it was just that boss, okay, he had to worry about. He had to go to the man that could give him the permission to be able to leave and to go. So I want us to look at this lesson today. This lesson, every time I look at this passage of Scripture, I think about the day that I had to make the decision what I was going to do when I worked in the business world. And I knew what God wanted me to do, but I just kept thinking, oh, just a little bit more money, just a little bit more money, Lord. If I make more money and put it in savings, then I can serve you. Then I can serve you. And I was thinking, man, that's what I need to do, because I know I'm not going to make any money in the ministry like that. And I can survive then if I got all that money saved up. And God took it all away. And I've told you that story, how my boss, the president of the company, did. He cut my pay. Left me with the same responsibilities and duties, but he cut my pay. And said, hey, when you get hungry, then you'll come back and see things my way. And I remember the day when I turned in that notice. And I gave him a 2-month notice. And I said, I don't know what the Lord's got for me, but I know he wants me to trust him and to obey him. And after I turned that notice in, I went to my pastor at that time and told him what had happened and told him what I was doing. And he asked me, he said, well, you know, I've been praying about somebody coming on board here to serve full time, do evangelism, work with our television ministry and our radio ministry. I got my radio license and all that stuff and a broadcaster's license and did all that. And he wanted me to come full-time there. And I thought, you know what? Thank God for answered prayer. Thank God for answered prayer. Nehemiah had to trust the Lord. And he had to depend upon what God had instructed him to do. And folks, that's what you and I have to learn to do today. The passage of Scripture that came to my heart and the Holy Spirit of God showed me about God's will was found in Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to share this with you before we go into the lesson. I think I've shared this with you before, but I want to share it with you one more time. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. This is what God said in His Word. He said, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." You see, I had it all backwards. I thought, "Lord, if I will save up my money and do this and do that, then I can serve you. Then I can do what you want me to do. Then, Lord, I can know that, you know, everything will be all right. And my children will have food on the table. My wife will have a car to drive and things like that. I'll do it that way." And God said, "No, that's not the way you do it. You trust me. You commit your way unto me. And then I'll take care of those needs." And you know, that's what Nehemiah had to learn to do. And we're going to see that in this lesson today. Now, I can tell you right now, I'm pretty well sure I won't get all this lesson done today. I'm pretty sure. But when you look at these verses, I want you to see this great Bible truth. I just want you to see that, folks, there are times that we got to trust the Lord. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to approach the situations. And it's then when we know the will of God that we need to be found obedient to the will of God and then allow Him to take care of all the rest. And He will, if we'll allow Him to do it. So He said here, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God," after you've put that foot of faith where it needs to go, after you do the will of God, you might receive the promise. And God's got great promises in His Word. And that is what Nehemiah based his life upon. The promises of God. And folks, we got a book here full of them. Full of God's promises. And we need to learn to trust Him with that. So with that, I want us to look at this lesson today. It's entitled Holy Boldness. Begins here in Nehemiah chapter number 2. Where the opportunity is given unto Nehemiah. Now I want you to look at this. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. "And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste and the gates thereof are consumed with fire?" You remember last week after praying and asking God for forgiveness of his sins and for the sins of the people, the children of Israel, Nehemiah asked the Lord to provide an opportunity to talk to the king whom he served as a cupbearer. He was the tester. And that day, people would try to poison the king, try to kill him. And so the king appointed folks that would taste the food, taste the drink, taste the dessert, and everything else that they had, so in order to save the life of the king. And if that servant died, then the king knew he shouldn't eat that food, okay? I think what I would have done is said, "Man, king, there's doubts about this dessert here. I think I'll just hang on to that for you. You try something else, okay? All right?" But you know what? Nehemiah had a job. It was an important job, and the king trusted him. He trusted him to do him no harm. So when we look at this thing, we got to understand the fact that in God's time and at the right time, not Nehemiah's time, everything came to pass. Now, the previous two lessons, we saw how that Nehemiah had not only heard of the plight of his Jewish brethren, but he'd also heard of the city and how everything was destroyed. And he heard this bad news. And he thought to himself, man, something needs to be done about this. So this was in the month of Chislew. If you look in chapter 1, it was the month of Chislew, which corresponds with our March, April on the Jewish calendars. Okay? So for 4 months, Nehemiah prayed. And the Bible said that Nehemiah trusted God to answer his prayer in God's own time and at the right place. And here in chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king. So you got to remember that oftentimes man's timetable is not God's timetable. We get mad if God doesn't do things the way we want it, when we want it, and all this other stuff. But God's train always runs on time, folks. And you know what? We can trust God. We can depend upon Him. And I want you to understand, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 remind us of this truth. When God declared that He would send a Redeemer, the Old Testament Scriptures declared it. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 tell us that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. At the right time, God sent forth His Son into this world. And at the right time, God showed Nehemiah when he ought to talk to the king about this situation. So that's a wonderful testimony for God. It's a wonderful testimony for Nehemiah, who trusted God and waited upon the Lord. So if you look at Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6, he prayed this prayer. He said, "Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, night and day." You go down to verse 11 in that chapter. He said, "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man." And he was speaking about the king. Why? Because he was the king's cupbearer. The king trusted him. And you got to remember, God is oftentimes at work when we don't see Him at work. God oftentimes works in the background with things. You know, I look at our world situation today. God is working in our world today. He's bringing all the pieces of the puzzle together. And all the things that we see coming to pass right now are going to come to pass in God's time frame. Amen. We don't know when He's coming, but you know what? I want to live each day as if today were the day He was coming. I want to be ready for Him. So regardless of what we think, God is faithful. And we got to learn to trust Him. And we need to think that God is in control. We need to think about this thing. God is in control of all things, especially the way that things go on in this life. So I want you to see, not only was it in God's timing, but this request that he was to make was a fearful event in the life of Nehemiah. Now I want you to look at verses 1 and 2 again of chapter 2. He said, "And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was set before him. I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid." Perhaps to you and me, we'd say that God answered Nehemiah's prayer in an unusual manner. He kind of answered in an unusual way. Perhaps to Nehemiah, God answered his prayer in an unusual way, but God opened the eyes of the king in order that he might see the heart of Nehemiah. God opened the eyes of the king so he might see the heart, the burden, the desire of Nehemiah. Now I want you to look at this. Verse 2 says, "Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick?" In other words, Nehemiah had always had a cheerful countenance when he was with the king. He counted the king as his friend. He counted him as one that he was honorable to serve. He was honored to serve this man. But now he comes to the king and his countenance is not looking the same. And you know, this is not good for Nehemiah, because the king, being observant of things, he might be thinking, I wonder if Nehemiah has turned against me. I wonder if he's poisoned something. He's afraid that it's not going to work and I'm going to die or something. We don't know what was going through the mind of the king. But God opened the eyes of this king so that he might see the heart of Nehemiah. And when he did that, the Bible said that Nehemiah said to himself, I'm afraid. I'm very sore afraid. Can you imagine the king seeing this in his life? And the king taking it the wrong way and thinking, man, Nehemiah's turned against me. I'm going to knock him off before he gets a chance to poison me or something. But that's not what happened. God used the sorrow of Nehemiah's heart here and the countenance of his face to speak to the heart of the king and open the door of opportunity for Nehemiah to express his burden, the will of God that God had placed upon his life. Now I want you to see this today. He had to do two things. He had to, number one, make his burden for Jerusalem before the king. And then he was going to have to make his request known unto the king. And Nehemiah knew. He knew this was not going to be an easy task. He knew that this very King Artaxerxes, who had before time, back in Ezra chapter 4, this king, this very king, had halted all the reconstruction efforts that were going on in Jerusalem. He had gotten a bad report about the Jews. He had been told that they were insurrectionists and they were plotting against the king, and that the king needed to stop this reconstruction of the walls and rebuilding the walls and restoring the gates and things like that. And so this very king had stopped all that. He had put a cease to the work that had been going on in Jerusalem. And now Nehemiah was going to have to go to this king and say, I think God wants me to go and rebuild these things. So he had to face that king. If you go back to Ezra chapter 4 just a moment, just go back one book. One book to Ezra chapter number 4. And I want you to look here at verse number 21. Ezra chapter 4, verse 21. This king had said, give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. And we need to understand why, okay, the king made such a decree and then said, give ye now commandment to cause this work to cease. We need to understand why he did that. So in that same chapter, go back to verse 11. Look at verse number 11. And the enemies of God, the enemies of the children of Israel, had written a letter to this king, Artaxerxes. And listen to what it said. This is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even to Artaxerxes the king. Thy servants, the men on the other side river, and at such a time, be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then they will not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings. Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor. Therefore have we sent and certified the king. We're telling you the truth, O king, that's what they're saying. That search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers. So shalt thou find in the book of the records, and know that this city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was this city destroyed. We certify the king that if this city be builded again, and the walls thereof set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side the river. So we see the reason that the king stopped all the work. And he said, I want you to stop this work until I have the opportunity to go and check out what you're telling me, to see if it's true or not. And that's why he said, until another commandment shall be given from me. The king had to check the story out. He had to see for his own sake, for good relations with all the other areas around him. He had to go back and trust but verify the information. And that's what he did. But the problem was that somewhere along the line, the king and all his other political and social administrative affairs evidently got sidetracked from all this particular matter. And the enemies of God took advantage of the situation, and they used deceit. They used deception to force to keep the true nature of the situation from coming to the king's attention. They used deceit. Boy, we see that in our country today, do we not? People use deceit, deception. They twist people's words to say one thing when that's not what they said and that's not what they meant. They twist the words. So little did Nehemiah know, but God was about to remind this king that he had not yet given another command to allow the work to proceed. But within moments of him talking to him, he would do it. Now I want you to look at this. We see here that God gave Nehemiah wise boldness in verse number 3. Look at this. Nehemiah said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Now think about it. Nehemiah was the king's trusted cupbearer. And he couldn't just make a request to the king, because to do that would be death. You remember the story of Esther. Okay, the story of Esther. She was not allowed to go to the king unless he had called for her and he held out the scepter and said, I want to see you. King Artaxerxes had not summoned the cupbearer. He had not summoned Nehemiah. And Nehemiah could die in this situation if it was not handled right. But I want you to see just how good God was to Nehemiah. God opened the king's eyes so that the king could see Nehemiah's heart. And God did that. God touched the heart of that king because he had seen the good testimony of Nehemiah in all that he did. He had seen the joy that Nehemiah displayed in the job that he had. Folks, listen to me. You may work in the public sector, and if you're not any different than those folks that are lost in that public sector, you're in trouble. You're not bearing a good testimony for the Lord. Listen, you don't have to be like them. Amen? We need to be lights in the dark world of sin. The Bible talks about how a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And I don't want to have dry bones. Do you? Amen. I don't want to live in the valley of dry bones. Man, I want to live in the land of joy and peace and happiness through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. Nehemiah knew who his God was. He knew what God could do. He just didn't know when or how God was going to do it. And here today, God said, Nehemiah, I got you covered, buddy. I'm going to let the king see your desire, your burden, your longing in your heart, and I'll open up the door of opportunity for you. My goodness, how many times does God open the door of opportunity for us? We had a little girl yesterday. My wife had a show down at Wolfstock, the Humane Society show they did for stuff. And she made some pet tags and all kinds of stuff down there. A little Spanish girl, her mom was selling candles. Can you imagine selling candles on a day like it was yesterday? I don't know if they all melted or just what, but they were made candles and things like that. And anyway, they had all these vendors out there. And we were getting ready to pack up stuff, and that little girl came over to us. She said, "My mom really does like your stuff here." And Lisa said, "Well, why don't you come over here and pick you out something?" And she said, "Could I?" And she said, "Yeah." So she came over, and she picked out a little plaque that had something on it. And it was a little interchangeable plaque, had a little flower thing in the middle, and you can change it out for different seasons and stuff. She said, "My mom really likes this one. Would it be okay to get that one?" She said, "Yeah, you can get that." She said, "Can I change that little centerpiece?" She said, "Pick out anything you want." And so she'd go back over and interpret to her mom and tell her what it was. And her mom said, "That's good." So when she came back over, it opened up the door of opportunity for me to be able to give her a little gospel track. And I pulled out a little gospel track in Spanish. I told her, I said, "I know your mom doesn't speak real good English, but we have a church that's got a Spanish church. And we speak Spanish there." And I said, "We'd love to have you come." And she said, "Really?" She said, "Can I give that to my mom?" I said, "You sure can." And it opened up a door of opportunity for them. Listen, folks, we need to look, to search, to long for opportunities to be a witness for the Lord, to let folks see Christ in us. And God opened up that opportunity here for Nehemiah. When the king came to him and said, "Son, what's the matter with you? Man, you're not sick. You just got a broken heart. What are you so down about today?" And God gives opportunity to Nehemiah to tell him what was wrong. And if you'll come back next week, I'll show you how that God's in control of all those matters. Amen. Man, I love this story. Oh, what a God we serve today. And we need to thank him for every opportunity that he gives us. Let's pray. And we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I love you today. And I thank you, God, for the opportunities that you give unto us. Lord, how that you open the doors. And God, you do work when we're panicking, Lord. We're just all messed up with worrying about this and worrying about that. And God, you've got everything in control already. Lord, help us, God, to trust you. And just simply be willing to look for the opportunities that you give unto us. To be the witnesses for you that we need to be. Father, I pray, God, today that you'll use this lesson to speak to our hearts. Grant unto us, Lord, the boldness that we need to have to be witnesses for you, faithful witnesses, loving witnesses, God, that we can be a light in this dark world of sin. Father, please bless the lesson. Use it for your honor and for your glory. Fill me with your power, Lord, as I stand to preach in just a few moments. And help me, Lord, to deliver the message that, God, I believe that you want me to give today. And, Father, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being here. Pray for me as I get ready to preach, okay?